Amen. I invite us to be seated, and we are going to continue to move in worship. This is a prayer that comes to us called At the Table by a theologian and artist and activist named Phuc Lu.
Thank you.
Amen. And I invite us to be seated, and we are going to continue to move together in worship. And I do want to just lift up a few things. Again, welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as co-pastors for this community of faith. We're so grateful to gather together on Sundays, both in person and online, to root our lives in grace. We as a community grow in faith through what we call our kitchen tables. These are small groups through which we gather together on a weekly basis to watch over one another in love, sharing life together, holding our lives in conversation with the great commandment to love God and to love our neighbors. We search scripture in that process. If you would like to learn more about what that is like, we think of that as the heartbeat of our community here at the table. Pastor Linda and I teach together a six-week series, which we call Growing in Faith. We have two. We have one that just finished up, two that are getting started the first week of March. Those are already full, and we've just announced the new one that'll begin on Tuesday, April 19th. And that'll meet online for 6 weeks, so you can join in from wherever you might be during that time. And it is a way to connect with others and to learn more about how we share in life together here at the table. Our children grow in faith on Sunday mornings outside through what we call Godly Play at 9:30, and then with Loving Childcare at 11. And as a community, God continues to call us to reach in love in creative ways. One of those is a ministry that we have called Table Farm, which is located in Hollywood Park. We have a number of opportunities. If you would like to sign up to join a community volunteer shift, you can do that on Tuesdays and Fridays and Saturdays. We also are looking toward a time in which our middle school youth will be working with a local artist named Jaya to create a mural together out there at the farm. There is Jaya, who just finished up another mural over in, toward downtown as well. So if you would like, if you have a child who's in middle school, or if you're joining us online and you're a middle school student, we'd love to have you go to thetable.farm, and you can find more and sign up in that space. For those that are gathered online, Chloe and Molly are there. If you have any questions, we will gather together in this way. You can sign in if you would like, no pressure, but if you would like to, you're welcome to sign in. And then you can connect with those around you by choosing a virtual seat, and it functions much like Zoom does. And at the end of worship today, we'll move together towards some virtual coffee tables. There'll be a link that's shared there online, which will share the bulletin with those that would like to learn more about kind of the movement of worship today. And for those of us here in the sanctuary, you'll see QR codes around. If you'd like to use your phone, you can identify that. And if you would just like to connect and stay connected with us, you can text the word NEW to the number that's showing up right now on your screen there, and that'll enter you into a conversation to do that. We will keep moving in worship now, and I want to invite us to stand one more time. This is a song that we've been working on during this four-week worship series. It was originally written by a woman who migrated from Ireland to Los Angeles and then has shaped the church's story through the years. This is Blessed Quietness.
Are flowing like a river since the comforter has come. Who abides with us forever makes the trusting heart a home. Like the sunlight
Amen. If that doesn't get you moving, I don't know what does, you know? We encourage all of you here in the sanctuary and for our friends online to follow along in your own Bibles or with the words that you see on the screen as I share from Luke 6, 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away from your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Creator is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back.
I'm not the same, 'cause you rearranged me. You said you were here, that the people say amen. Thank you, team. Wow. As a beloved community, those of us who gather in kitchen tables during the week have been in an act of communal contemplation each week of this worship series through the practice of Lectio Divina. And Lectio Divina, it's a way of praying the scriptures that leads us deeper into the Word of God. We slow down. We read a short passage more than once. We chew it over, slowly, carefully. You might say we savor it. And in the process, scripture often, not always, but often, begins to speak to us in a new way. Together, we wonder out loud about how it speaks into our life right now. And it helps us, I think, also feel closer to God, ultimately, through the Christ who is himself the living word, not the dusty old word that came one time centuries ago, right? The living word. So this week we listened to the passage that Avery just read for all of us, and for me, it's a very familiar passage. So I was caught off guard when I heard something new, as if for the very first time, which I'll come back to. First, I want us to remember that the verses that Avery read are continuing Jesus' teaching that we heard last week, which put us hearers on a level playing field, level ground, with all those to whom Jesus was speaking. That was the 12 and the crowd of disciples and the multitude from all over the area. And Jesus is sharing his view of God's world. It's a view which includes a reordering of power, a complete actual reversal in which the last shall become first. This week, Salt Project's commentary lifted up just how startling this reordering of power is. They wrote, "Embedded in this week's passage is the so-called golden rule, the supposed maxim of fairness, do to others as you would have them do to you. But as we've seen, the love of Jesus has in mind anything but fair." In fact, Jesus' critique of reciprocity, which is even sinners do that, makes clear that fair is precisely what true love is not. Rather, true love goes above and beyond reciprocity. And in this sense, Jesus is recommending an unfair kind of love, an extravagance that benefits not the one who benefits you, but the one who opposes you. Or indeed, that gives more to a thief than the thief takes in the first place. There's a playful spirit, though, of hyperbole darting in and out of these ideas, as if they're designed to evoke a kind of absurd, ecstatic state of generosity, a state of pure mercy, like a state of grace. And it turns out this isn't a golden rule at all. It's a golden love, a playful, beautiful, graceful way of living. So what surprised me was how our passage today begins with a shift in how Jesus describes his audience. Maybe you heard it. It's verse 27. Jesus begins, "I say to you who are listening." One New Testament scholar pointed out this week that we could emphasize the present participle and even translate it like this, "I declare to you who are still listening." What happened? Had some of them fallen asleep? Were some of them checking their email? Scrolling their Instagram? Did Jesus feel like he was losing the crowd? What does it require for us to keep listening to Jesus? I can't answer that for everyone. It's something I think we need to chew on and savor for ourselves. Because Jesus' words to those who continue to listen, those words promise that we all have a part in God's reordered world. Sometimes I think that is overwhelming to take in. We're called to live in God's realm in accord with God's character, and the power is there for us to do it, to be caught up, to be healed, to lose the hostile spirits that hold us captive, to receive and live in mercy. The trouble is that we human beings have a tendency to turn Jesus' teaching into simplistic lists of doing good and doing no harm. We just love our simple memes, me included. As one theologian put it, as Luke presents him here, Jesus is more like a playful, provocative artist painting pictures of love, icons we can embody every day. For God is kind to the ungrateful, gracious to the ungracious, and we are made in God's image. Accordingly, with the Spirit's help, then, grace is bubbling up all around us all the time, if we are still listening, if we are alert. We'll notice it everywhere. Jesus doesn't condemn, but rather prays for those who persecute him. And when we live this way, as children of the God of grace, live with golden love written in our hearts and being, everyone belongs. We don't condemn others. God doesn't condemn us. We live in the image of the God of love. Likewise, we forgive others. God forgives us. We live in the image of the God of mercy. We give, we receive, not because of some fair exchange that we have with God, but because we live in the image of God, who is the abundant giver. To no credit of our own, but merely and marvelously as God's beloved child, you heard it read, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. So Dr. Barbara Holmes believes living this way is at the heart of the healing power of the beloved community in action. And she also writes this for those of us who are still listening. As one of the first steps towards healing and survival, we take a big gulp of reality. We have to admit that we have been broken before we can be healed. We can't heal until we can grieve the events that have wounded us, release the spiritual toxins left behind, and open ourselves to something new. Communal grieving offers something that we cannot get when we grieve by ourselves. And in the words of Sabanfu Somme, she says, she writes, through validation, acknowledgement, and witnessing, communal grieving allows us to experience a level of healing that is deeply and profoundly freeing. During the worst of times, we must collectively listen for the rustle of the Spirit and ready ourselves to move when the Spirit says move. Every time we hear it, moving in our souls. So last week, we began to do this as a community. And with the guidance of Dr. Holmes, I invited all of us here and online to feel the troubles of the world and to breathe them out. And then to inhale the healing that we long for, that our world longs for. And then we committed these feelings to words on paper and in our online chat. And some of them are here and most of them are over there hanging. And you're welcome to look at those. All of these, before they went up there, we collected. And we shared them with our music team, greatest music team in the world. And with the inspiration of Kara Tupi, who I shared about last week, who imagined this exercise and invited all of us into it, they have turned it into a prayer and breath song. So that's what we're gonna do right now. And it's gonna last for about 10 minutes. I'm gonna set a timer and we're gonna go 10 whole minutes. Yeah. And our invitation, we've just taken six of the words, and we took the six words that appeared the most. And we're going to invite you. You can stay where you are. You can move to the prayer candles. You can walk around. All is acceptable. You may sing as Omari and the team guide you, or you may sit quietly. But right now, we are going to collectively listen for the rustle of the Spirit as we breathe in and breathe out, and breathe in and breathe out.
We breathe in
Loving God, loving God, for your unfolding grace, for your love that carries us through, for your healing which binds all of creation together. We give thanks. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amid the breathing out and the breathing in of his day so very long ago, Jesus invited those around him to slow down and join him in the breaking of bread, the sharing of a cup. And he is inviting us again, and maybe for the first time for some of us, to slow down as well. And in the hope of preparing for this feast, in the hope of preparing even more so our minds and our bodies and our souls to share together, we always take a pause to acknowledge before God our struggles with one another, the ways that we fall short of God's gracious and abundant love, and of living in the ways that God longs for us to live. And so I invite us, as we are able and willing, to stand as we pray out loud with our breath this prayer of confession. Merciful God, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We argue over the definition of neighbor and tear at the fabric of your beloved community. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, God gives strength right there into our weakness, courage bestowed in abundant measure to our fear, and wide swaths of hope are painted on our despair. May we all know and trust in God's deep and abiding, assuring love. Let the people say amen.
Amen. And I invite you to join with us in the call and response that has become the church's practice for recognizing and celebrating the presence of God in each and every neighbor. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, the your beloved Son, the body is broken, God's love poured open to make us new. Lord, make us new. Abba, Father, we bless your name and take part in this holy communion. Make us all one to love like your Son. The body is broken, God's love poured open to make us new.
guide us to continue in prayer with the words that Jesus taught his disciples. They were given to the church. The church has added to them and passed them down through the generations. We call it the Lord's Prayer. We encourage you to name and address God in the language that is deepest in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Loving God, pour your Spirit upon each of us gathered here and spread across many places. Pour your Spirit upon the gifts which are before us. Make these for us the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's love and body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and all truly means all. We encourage all of our friends that are here to wait for Avery's cue, for all of our friends who are with us online to gather close to you your bread and your juice. For those of us here in the sanctuary, you'll be dismissed by a pew. We encourage you to be in prayer until that time. You'll go out this door, go around the side, and come back into the sanctuary. We encourage you to also maybe take a look, for those of us who are in here, with the words that people shared about what we need to exhale and inhale. And we will also have a piece that scrolls all the words on the screen, so all of us at home will be able to see that as well, right? We're all God's children. We're in this together. You can't make a mistake. We're watching over each other in love. Amen.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of the new covenant, God's love poured out for you.
Thank you.
Loving God, we give thanks for the depth of this divine dance, this holy mystery through which you are revealed to all of creation. May we be among those who are still listening, and may your peace heal the wounds within us and between us, that we might be found home in your love, made known in the way and the truth and the hope of Jesus, who is our hope for the world. Amen. We want to invite you, as we have been responding to God's love for you, for the world. We've been doing that in art here over these weeks. We've been doing that in song, in prayer, breathing in and breathing out. Indeed, we are called to respond to God's love in many, many different ways. Some of those ways include giving generously to help our community align more fully with the generosity that God meets each of us and the world with. And we do that by making gifts here in the sanctuary for those that are in person, online for those that are joining actually here in person or online. You can do that via text, or you can set up a recurring gift. You can go there to make what we call a deep commitment. It's a way to commit to being together in life in this community, to discern the ways that God is calling us into healing out of the wilderness that we find ourselves in. And so we encourage you to discern the ways that you will join with others in part being part of God's healing for the world. As we move out of worship together in song, our musicians are going to help us with a song called Come Out the Wilderness. And as this song closes, for those that are online, we'll move to some virtual coffee tables, and we invite you to sign in so that we can connect with one another. And those of us here in the sanctuary, we will move outside, where many of us will feel freer to take off our masks and to gather together. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. This is Come Out the Wilderness.
Tell me, how did you feel when you
come out the wilderness?
When you
come out the wilderness?
When you
come out the wilderness?
Tell me, how did you feel when you
come out the wilderness, oh, leaning on the Lord?
Well, I felt like shouting tonight.
Come out the wilderness.
Tonight.
Come out the wilderness.
Tonight.
Come out the wilderness.
Oh, I felt like shouting tonight.
Come out the wilderness, oh, leaning on the Lord.
And then I told everybody tonight.
Come out the wilderness.
Tonight.
Come out the wilderness.
Tonight.
Come out the wilderness.
Hey,
come out the wilderness, leaning on the Lord.
When I run and told my father when I
come out the wilderness, come out the wilderness, come out the wilderness.
When I run and told my father when I
come out the wilderness, leaning on the Lord. I'm leaning on the Lord.
When the trouble comes,
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Are you leaning?
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Don't be a fool.
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Go ahead and lean.
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Are you leaning?
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Are you leaning on Jesus?
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Are you leaning?
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Are you leaning on Jesus?
I'm leaning on the Lord.
May we truly find our way out of the wilderness as we experience the healing love of God that frees us to want to tell our moms and our dads and everybody, right? Everybody, think of who you need to tell today that you are free to love as God loves you. Amen.
Jesus.
I'm leaning on Jesus.
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Are you leaning?
I'm leaning on Jesus.
I'm leaning on Jesus.
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Are you leaning on Jesus?
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Are you leaning on Jesus?
I'm leaning on the Lord.
Are you leaning?
I'm leaning on Jesus.
Are you leaning on?
I'm leaning on the Lord.